Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verses 12 through 17 together. And I want you to listen up. I'm going to preach my Father's Day sermon tonight. I felt like this was the right timing and right way to do these things. 1 John chapter 4, and by the way, I don't always preach a holiday sermon on a holiday. Nowhere in the Bible says I have to, just so you know. I try to keep some of the themes because it's appropriate, but it may come a Christmas Sunday and I don't preach a Christmas sermon just because our church doesn't need it right then. I'll preach to the needs of our people. I don't care what the date on the calendar is, just so you know. I just thought I'd throw that out there. That was free. You didn't pay for it yet. So, all right. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verses 12 through 17 together. Let's read responsively. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. God is an amazing God. Yes, sir. I wish people understood how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Good night. We have more fun on a Sunday than anybody had in the bar on Saturday night. Amen. Promise you that. I'll promise you, we had more fun watching three people get baptized today than they did at any baseball or football game. Guarantee it. See, the baseball game, the football game is only temporary. What happened today is eternal. It's big league. It's life-changing. You know, there's never been a sports game in the world that changed anybody's life for the better. Not one. Never changed eternity for anybody. I'll be gracious in saying this, of the hundreds of Christians who are professional athletes and all their, I thank God for my talent, my ability, not one person's ever been saved through that trash.
That's right.
Not one. But I thank God he's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. God is an amazing God. Now, God is what they call, I'm going to use a big college word. You ready? Triune. That means three in one. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Did you know all three of them are God? You can talk to God the Father. You can talk to God the Son. You can talk to God the Holy Spirit. And you have part of God in you the moment you get saved, because the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. He lives inside you. I said this not long ago. It's not really scriptural to say that you take Jesus into your heart. You don't take Jesus into your heart. You accept what Jesus did, but the Holy Spirit who moves in.
Amen.
It's not Jesus that moved in. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit moves in. And it is his Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I'm not going to separate over somebody because they say, trust Jesus and you got Jesus in your heart. I'm not going to separate. It's not biblical. But the Holy Spirit is that which indwells the believer. All right? Now, God is Father. He is Son. He is Holy Spirit. He has the ability to separate those, and yet he is one. For instance, I am a son to my mom and dad. I'm also a father to my daughter, and I'm also a husband to my wife. I am the same person. I have three positions. Though I'm the same person, I don't act the same, and I hold different relationships with my parents than I do with my wife. My wife is not my mommy, thank God. And she's glad too. And my mommy's not my wife, and she's glad, I'm sure. And my daughter's not my wife, This is West Virginia. Be careful. All right? Now, wait a minute. That was just sick. I know. But I had to say it. Can I tell you something? I am different with my daughter than I am with my mom and dad, but I'm different with my mom and dad than I am my wife, and my wife with all of them. Though I'm the same person. God has the ability to separate those and yet still be one. Does that make sense to everybody? You say, well, I don't get it. That's why he's God and you're man. It's that simple. Just like you are body, soul, and spirit. You can't see all three, but you are all three. Now, a lost person is only body and soul. Once you get saved, you're body, soul, and spirit. You're complete. Now, I'm not going to go any further with that. Let me say this. I love life. I love living. I enjoy life. I enjoy every aspect of it. I have a dear friend that I've known for many, many decades. And we got done Thursday night. I shot this person a text. I said, the house is empty. We are officially moved out. And I said, and they sent me a smile face and then a frowny face. And I said, there's no frown in here. I said, we're excited. And happens to be a lady my wife and I know. And she said, that's the trouble with you men. You don't. She kind of started off on me that it means something more to a woman in a house than it did a man. I said, well, my wife and my daughter aren't crying. They're pretty excited too. I said, I've taught my family relationships with people are more important than relationship with things.
That's good.
But she's, well, it's different for men than it is ladies. That's where she left it, and that's where I left it. I wasn't going to preach at her. I let her husband do that, amen? Now, wait a minute. I don't think she's a bad person. But my wife and I finished up there yesterday, and I said, take one last look. This is it. I said, any bad feelings? She said, mm-mm. You say, why? Because there's something to look forward to. I'm not mourning it. I don't go by the room and say, oh, that's where Mindy's room was. That's where Jeff's room was. That's where Josh's room was. Oh, my. I remember when Josh and Jeff were fighting and Jeff lost a tooth there. Good night. Who gives a flip? Those boys fought in every room of that house. It doesn't matter. I don't care what did happen. I thank God I still got them. The people are more important than what did happen. There's too many people wrapped up in a place. Good night, give me an air-conditioned tent, and I'll be happy. I can put up with wood heat, but I got to have a little bit of air in the summer, amen? I love life. I like being a husband. I've enjoyed, next Sunday, it'll be 29 years, I will have been married to the greatest lady in the whole world. I mean that. I enjoy being married. I'm not one of these people that thinks that marriage is a bad thing, all right? I enjoy it. I enjoy being a child. I'm a 51-year-old kid. Just trust me. Get around me very long, you'll find out. I like being a kid. I enjoy being a son to my parents. They don't always enjoy me as their son, but I enjoy them. I enjoy it. It's fun to honor my folks, especially when I don't have to obey them. But I enjoy honoring them. But maybe the position other than pastor that warms me more than anything is that of being a dad. I've been a dad now for 26 years. I had to check with my wife on that one. I didn't write it down. I was in trouble if I said the wrong number there. I know it's less than 29. That's all I can tell you, right? 26 years, I've been a dad. There's nothing like being a dad to my three kids. Now, it's not always been fun, not always been easy. We've had our struggles. And may I say this, I can't tell you that I'm a good dad. I really can't. I don't try to judge whether I was a good dad or not. I just know this. I love my kids. Taught them to work hard. Taught them to love their mama. Taught them to love the Lord. And what they do from here on, it's up to them. But about 5 o'clock this morning, I got a text from my son, Jeff, 23 years old, working security. By that time, he'd had 10 hours in for the night. Worked 16 hours yesterday, worked 12 hours last night, worked 12 hours the night before that. Got over 50 hours of overtime just this month, and we're only halfway through. And he sent me a text, and he said, "Dad," he said, "I want you to have a happy Father's Day." He said, "Thank you." He said, "Thank you for putting up with me. Thanks for teaching me to work hard and learn." And he said, "I've not always done everything you said the way you said it, but I'm learning it." And he said, I love you." He sent me a little doojigger, and it said, "To the world, you're a dad. To me, you're the world." Whew. You want to make a 50-year-old blubber? That did it. Let me tell you, my other son, Josh, sent me a very sweet text this morning. He's sent me a couple throughout the day. He got to lead a man to the Lord yesterday that it's a parent of one of the kids in their Christian school, and he escaped Cuba during the Castro administration. And just an amazing story, and Josh got to win him to the Lord yesterday. That's big league stuff. My daughter last night, she said, "Daddy, I don't have a gift for you, but my gift is Tuesday morning I have off. Can we go on a date?" She said, "I'll pay." I said, "I'm going." I waited till I got that part of it in there before I agreed to it. Amen. Now wait a minute. I enjoy being a dad. My wife will tell you this. When we took our son Josh home, he was born in California. When we put him in the car seat, in the back of the car, I started driving back to the house. I got nervous. I thought, never again will I drive the car for about another 18 or 20 years without that kid back there, probably. He's my responsibility from here on. Whoa. I can't take him back and say, "Y'all take him now." He ain't going back where he came from. It's ours. Jeff was born in South Carolina. He just about was born in the car. I did break the speed limit then. My wife started with contractions 3 or 4 minutes apart, and she was in labor start to finish 3 hours and 10 minutes, and we held her off for an hour to get the doctor there. And he was 9 pounds, 2 ounces. The doctor walked through the door and said, "Triple glove, double gown, let's go. Don't have time to scrub." Stood there and they threw stuff on him. He sat down, 3 pushes, and we were done. The nurse and I had Jeff's nose out. I mean, that's how far along he wasn't waiting any longer. But I remember putting him in the car, driving from Trident Hospital back to our house. And I went, "Whew." I thought I'd be used to this. I'm used to having one. Now there's 2 car seats back there. Whoa. And my daughter was born in Indiana. I was used to the feeling by then. But no, she was born. Was she born at Munster? I thought so. She was born in Munster, Indiana. And I don't know, we've been in so many hospitals and so many places, I lose track. I can tell you what state we were in, but that's about it. But I remember that feeling. You know, that's my little girl. 3 strikes, you're out. We were done. Amen. Thank God I played baseball, and I was done. No more. And we've had our ups and downs. We've had the doctor's visits. We've had the stitches. We've had the cut fingers in the lawnmower. We've had the life support for 3 weeks because of RSV, pneumonia, bronchiolitis, and asthma. We've had 2 with asthma, 1 with epileptic issues and petit mal seizures. And we've been through a lot of things. I understand it, but there's nothing like getting a text or a phone call and you hear the words, "Dad." Whew. That just does something for you. Can I tell you something? I know this. If I enjoy it, how much better does God enjoy being our Father? When's the last time you just looked at him and said, "Dad"? Book of Romans says that we can cry, "Abba, Father." Abba meaning daddy. when my daughter had a little oops last summer. She was backing out of the driveway and didn't see somebody coming down the road, and somebody plowed into the back of our car, took the bumper off. I heard the whack, jumped out of my chair, ran up half a flight of steps, opened the door, and she was getting out of the car running, saying, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 Daddy." That was not the time I wanted to hear those words. Now, wait a minute. I was glad that at 19, 20 years old, that was the first word she said. But let me say this. When's the last time you talked to God as your father? Some of you have fathers that are still alive. Thank God for it. But some of you don't. Some of you have unsaved fathers that don't give a flip about God, but you have a heavenly father. Some of you have fathers that are in heaven. Guess what? They're with the Father. God is the greatest example of being a parent. We ought to take God as our representative, our example, and I'm going to give you about 10 statements tonight. I have 21 minutes. I'm going to finish on time. Whether I'm done or not, I'm going to shut it down. Number one, God is eternal. God is forever. He's forever past, and he's forever future. God is just always there. Did you know God's never going to put you on hold? Did you know when you call God, he doesn't say, press 1 for this, press 2 for this, press 3 for this, and no habla inglés a las 8. He doesn't say that. When you call God, he says, hello. Every time. God doesn't have voicemail. God doesn't have any of those things. When you call, he's there. You don't have to worry ever about God not being there. Can I tell you something? I want my children to know Dad's always there. Now, I may not give them the answer they're looking for, but I'm always going to be there. By the way, the Bible says that he is faithful and just. It doesn't say we are. It says he is. Can I tell you something? God is always going to be there. Our parents, as we grow older, they generally usually pass before we do as children. They're not always going to be there. Can I tell you something? That's natural. But God's always there. God's always going to be there. And if you teach people to rely on God when we're not there, guess what? They'll obey. Can I give you the goal of Christian parenting, you young people, those of you that still have children? The goal of Christian parenting is take the dependence a child has upon mom and dad, and by the time they leave your home, they're dependent on God. When they leave your home, you have no right to tell them what to do, and you should have no right to be upset if they don't do it. None. It was your job to teach them to be dependent on God. Now, if they don't, that's their problem. But that's what Christian parenting is all about. From the time you cut that umbilical cord till they leave your home, it's a process of letting go. You better learn to let go. That's why I often say, my daughter-in-law is not my daughter-in-law, she's my daughter. That's why the toe-headed idiot probably one day will be my son, not my son-in-law. You say, why? Because they're family. I don't lose them, I'm gaining more. Amen. And if you'll approach life that way, by the way, my wife's family is my family. They're as much my family as my mom and my dad are. My mother-in-law and father-in-law are as much my mom and dad as my mom and dad are. Say why? Because the Bible says two become one. And if they're her parents, they're my parents. Well, I don't believe that. I don't care if you do. God did. Amen. So, God is eternal. Number two, God is omnipotent. That's a very big word that means all-powerful. Do you know that God is all-powerful? You don't realize how insignificant you are till you get somewhere where it's really big. You go out west and stand on a mountain somewhere, you find out how insignificant you really are. Go out to Montana, and my son Jeff kept saying, Dad, it just keeps going and going out here. He said, "Dad, do you realize how small we really are?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Look how big God is." He said, "Man, it takes your breath away." If you've never been out in the Rockies, and I mean out to where there's nothing else, you don't realize how small you really are. You really don't. Here, it's kind of flat, even though we got the mountains and stuff. You go out where there's just nothing but mountains. I got a picture of my son Jeff walking up a mountain. He's about not even 20% up the mountain, and he's just crossed a little valley from me, and he looks like a speck. Then he got two-thirds of the way up, and if you blow the picture all the way up, you can see a little orange dot. I had to look at him through binoculars just to find him. You find out how little you really are. And the mountain looks like you can just reach out and touch it right there until you start walking it. He said, "Dad, I was on my hands and knees crawling up the last couple hundred yards." I said, "Yeah, that's why I did stay down here. I got better sense than that. The old man was tired." God is strong. Do you know it takes more strength to hold back than it does to give in? You know, it takes more strength to stop a train than it does to get a train going. It takes more force to stop something that is moving than it does to get it moving. You've seen it. I've seen it. You've watched people pull a train engine with their teeth. You know, they can get it going. They're not going to stop it with their teeth. You get that thing moving at 20, 30 mile an hour and stand out in front of it and see if you can stop it once. You're going to look like that little squirrel that ran out in front of my truck the other day. Splat! He made a wrong decision. He came, went back, and then he decided he was going to go back the other way. Too late. Say, what happened? Thump, thump. Look in the rearview mirror. We had squirrel pancakes. Amen? Fuzzy frisbees. That's what you would be. It takes more strength to stop something. You're not strong because you can lose your temper. You're strong because you don't lose your temper. Strength is holding back. Everybody doing okay? I want my kids to be able to draw from my strength. I want my church to be able to draw from my strength. I'd like to be strong enough for people to be able to draw from it. God is big enough to draw strength from. By the way, I need to keep myself as strong as I can for as long as I can so I can help as many people as I can. You ought to baptize a guy as big as Shane once. Just let him fall back and push him down, you know. There wasn't much room in there to push him too far, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. I need to be as strong as I can for as long as I can so I can help as many people as I can. I need to be strong so I can take care of my wife for the rest of our lives. I need to be strong for my children. I need to be strong for my church and my parents. And I need to be strong for as many people as I can. Number three, God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. He's all present. My kids, when they were growing up, thought Dad could see anything and everything. No lie. We were in Indiana. One of my boys was in the garage. And when they're little, they don't think moms and dads know everything that's going on. But I could hear what he was tinkering with. And I hollered and I said, "Hey, you put that down. Quit messing with..." I don't even remember what it was. He'd come running out around the side of the garage. He said, "Dad, There's no wind in there. How could you see me doing that?" I said, "Because I can see everything." Boy, did that scare him. They just never knew when Dad was going to show up. All of a sudden, he's there. Then they, "Oh, yeah. You're not going to do that, are you?" "Oh, no, I'd never do that. I didn't think you would." I want my kids to think that I've been through enough where I can help them. Not long ago, one of my boys called me and said, "Dad," it was my son Josh, he said, "you've been in the ministry a lot longer than I've been alive." He said, "Can you help me with something?" He said, "I know you're going to tell me the truth and not candy coat it. This is what I need." So I did. You know, being able to experience a lot of things gives you the experience to help a lot of people. But it doesn't mean that you force it on them. You just have it available for them. Number four, God is unchanging. God is consistent. Everybody listen to this. I didn't change as my children got older. I didn't change what I believed about standards. I didn't change what I believed doctrinally because my children got older. I didn't change what I believed about music because my kids got older. I didn't change what I believe about any of that because I'm getting older. Truth does not change. Standard does not change. And I want my children to know when they bring their children to my house someday that it's going to be the same as it was when they were children. It's going to be in a different location, but it's going to be there. Things are going to be the same. Can I tell you something? I want our church to know we're not changing. We're not changing Bibles. We're not changing doctrine. We're not changing standards. We're not changing music. We're just not going to change. Amen. God doesn't change. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. God's not going to give in just because you want him to. principles don't mean you're militant. It just means you don't change. I don't have to be militant. I just have to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't have to get mean and ugly. I just have to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. When one of my sons rebelled for a couple years, and he decided he was going to come back to the house and visit one day, I looked at him, I said, you're not going to do some of the things that you're doing in my house. He said, I know that, Dad. I respect you enough. I'm not going to do it in your house. I said, all right. He told me later, he said, Dad, do you know how hard that was to hear you say that? I said, do you know how hard it was for me to say it? I said, but it wasn't going to change anything. He said, I knew better than to do some things in your house. I said, good. That's the way it ought to be. Everybody doing all right? Man, I love that. God is unchanging. Number five, God is intimate. We read here about how God loves us. It's an intimacy. There's a closeness. And by the way, intimacy is not necessarily a physical thing. It is a closeness. There is a depth. There are people that are married that don't talk to one another at an intimate level ever. You don't talk at a deep level. You only know what you know. You don't find out why somebody hurts and why somebody feels the way they feel. And you don't care. Well, that's just emotion. Well, maybe you would understand them better if you understood why the emotion was there. Well, they'd never feel that, so they wouldn't want... you don't know that. Maybe you ought to talk at a different level. God is intimate. By the way, I want to be able to express my deep love to God, and I want to be able to express my deep love to my children. My kids have never left my presence to even go to bed without hearing me say, I love you.
Praise God.
I don't think I've ever left a room or left the house without telling my mom and dad I love them. Amen. To this day. I ate lunch over at their house today. We had ribs, amen. Glory to God. God took them away, but I'm eating my share back. Amen. Now, wait a minute. But when I left, I gave my mother a kiss and said, I love you. I did not give my dad a kiss. But I told him I loved him. Can I tell you something? When my daughter left to go to the bus route today, before we left the room up here, she gave me a big hug and said, I love you, Daddy. And I said, I love you, too. Before she goes to work, she'll say, I love you, Dad, and give me a hug. Before she went to bed last night, same thing. You say, why? Because we've learned to express that intimacy. Say, I can't believe you do that, preacher. Maybe you ought to learn how to love at an intimate level. Number six, God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. God knows everything. let me say this. I don't know everything, and neither do you. I don't claim to. But may I say something? I'm teachable. I've learned to stay teachable. Man, I can learn a lot of things. My dad and I were working on a car this week. I learned a lot. Doesn't mean I'm going to be able to do it again, but I learned a lot. Might be a better way to do it next time, I think. But I learned a lot. I try to stay intelligent. Let me rephrase that. I try to get intelligent. I try to stay up with things. I know a little bit about a lot of things. I can't tell you that I'm super intelligent. I took a couple of those IQ tests. It doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Some of those things are really stupid. My IQ is not super high. It's above average. It's about, I've taken it 3 different times, and it's been between 128 and 131 every time. I'm not super duper intelligent. It's a little above average. But I've learned to pay attention and learn a lot in life. I read. I study. I watch people. I study people. I study patterns. And I happen to know a little bit about a lot of things. I keep up with the stock market. I keep up with investments and banking. I keep up with the housing industry. I keep up with the rent industry in this area. I keep up with Social Security, not for my sake, for others. I keep up with a lot of those things. I keep up with cars and different things, and I understand some of that stuff. And I deal a lot in business. I keep up with medical stuff. Because I deal with a lot of medical questions and a lot of medical issues. And I happen to know a little bit about a lot of things. There are things I will say, I don't know anything about that, but you can go see this person. They know far more than I do. If I don't know something about something, I know who to go to find out about it. I try to stay that way for my kids. I try to stay that way for my church. I try to stay that way. By the way, I know him. That's the most important thing to know. Number next, God is holy. God says, be holy as I am holy. There ought to be a holiness about us. My kids don't see their dad sitting around in a pair of shorts and his half his belly hanging out a t-shirt watching the TV. When we're home, we're home. I don't sit there inappropriate around my family. I want them to understand there's a propriety to it. We ought to be holy at home. We ought to be holy where we're at. And I've got to hurry up here. And by the way, God doesn't force his holiness on somebody. Well, you're just being holier than thou. No, I'm living biblically. You don't like it, lump it. Number 8. I said that in Jesus' name, right? Number 8, God is just. He's for justice. Well, I've spent a lot of time on that. God requires justice. He's not going to let you off just because you asked him to. That's not just. Letting somebody off that's guilty, they still need punished. God, you don't go to God and say, can I have another chance? Yeah, you can have another chance, but you're still going to pay the consequences for the one you just blew. You're not being merciful when you let your kids off by letting them do wrong. They deserve punishment. If they have the right spirit, they may not get as severe a punishment, but they still deserve to be punished. Number next, God is love. Boy. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Say, what is love? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The whole chapter is about love. God is the source of all love. God is love. And you will not love people in your home unless you love God like you should. I've been counseling for over 30 years. I'm going to make a statement. I've made it before, but I'll make it again. If there is a strain in any love relationship, whether it be husband-wife, parent-child, friend-to-friend, pastor-to-people, etc., etc., you show me a strain in any love relationship, I'll show you where one or both aren't walking with God like they should. Every time. Every time. Without fail. Say, why? 1 John 4, 7, 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. You don't know God like you should, or you would be able to love through the situation without having the stress and the strain that you're having at the moment. I don't argue with God an awful lot. Sometimes I disagree with him, but I don't scream and holler at him. I don't scream and holler at my wife. We don't always agree, but may I say this, we don't yell at each other. God is love. So much more I want to say, but I got one last thing and I'm done. Number 10, God is forgiving. Thank God he's forgiving. Aren't you glad God can forgive? Matter of fact, he forgave before you ever did the offense. You're going to need forgiveness in life. You're going to need it from him. You're going to need it from everybody. My daughter has heard these words to her personally on more than one occasion. Dad blew it. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Say why? Because I've been a bonehead and blown it. Now, there's times I wasn't sorry and I didn't ask for forgiveness because I knew I was doing right and she didn't get it. And that's okay. Like the first time I met the toe-headed idiot. She thought I was the meanest thing in the world. No, I was having a conversation with somebody else and I wasn't going to break a conversation just to meet the kid. There's a time for it. Found out later he was a bit nervous. But I figured, hey, if he's tough enough to get through me, he might be worth looking at for a while. If he'll keep coming back, he's got something to him, amen. I knew what I was doing. It was planned. It wasn't just an accident. I wasn't rude. I wasn't mean. She thinks I was, but I wasn't. You ask him, he'll say, no, I wasn't rude or mean. I was a little tough. He kept coming back. He was like one of those rubber balls. The harder you threw him, the faster he came. I thought, well, he's got some tenacity. Let's see how long he can last here. And he did. And he's a good young man. Amen. Now, listen to this statement very carefully. But if I've done something wrong, I'm not afraid to ask for forgiveness. I may hurt you someday. I'll not do it intentionally. But if I do, I'll say I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Didn't mean to. Now, if it comes to a doctrine, I'm not asking for forgiveness. I'm not. My position, it's not changing. My disposition, I'll apologize for. How I say something, I'll apologize for it. For my position on this book right here, I'm not asking anybody to forgive me for that. You say, why, preacher? Because that's the position we're supposed to hold. Period. End of discussion. And I can forgive better if I'm holding that position. I can love better if I'm holding that position. I don't have to be mean. I talked to somebody this week, and they're going through a struggle. They're not the most spiritual person in the world right now, but I helped them. You say, why? Because I think if I help them, they may become more spiritual. I think they were a little set back that I would even help them in this area. I said, no, man, I'd love to help you. I gave them some advice. I helped them get some of the best advice they could get. And I really believe God will use that as a seed to draw them to become spiritual someday. I know some people look down their pharisaical snoot and say, well, you just figured out yourself. God bless you. That's why they won't come to you for help, but they'll come to me. I'll help them. I'll help my enemy. Now, I may not invite them in the door, but I'll help them. And I have, many a time. Huh. Thank God we have a father. Thank God my daddy's still with us. And I thank God that I still got him. I mean that. But the day will come, if the Lord keeps going as natural life goes, that I won't always have my daddy here. Amen, Brother Joe? But I know this, I got my heavenly daddy. And he's always there. And I have what he taught me to carry me through the rest of my life as I teach it to others. That's what God our Father is about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, have you wished God a happy Father's Day today? Have you even talked to the Heavenly Father today? How's your relationship with the Father today?